Welcome to the Launch Button Podcast, where we allot the secrets of successful entrepreneurs and real estate investors who found the courage to hit the launch button and take control of their destiny. Join me, Hugh Zaretsky, bestselling author, seasoned real estate investor, and serial entrepreneur, as we dive deep into inspiring stories and invaluable lessons that will empower you to break free from the ordinary and pursue your true passions. Are you feeling trapped in a job that drains your passion and leaves you yearning for more? Are you ready to accelerate your business and or real estate investing to take it to the next level? It's time to ignite your dreams and embrace the limitless possibilities that life has to offer. Get ready to launch into the life you've always desired by pressing the launch button.
Let's get things rocking and rolling here today. Let's just talk about that ability for masterminds, that ability for retreats, to be able to go deeper with people. We can't always guarantee what's going to happen. We can't always guarantee how many people are going to show up. But that ability to ask questions, to go deep with people, is a big part of it. And the more that we can do that, and I think you saw that with some of the people there on Saturday, that come over. So one is just within the team itself. It's always important to go further within the team. Two, it's that ability to grow. And three, it's the ability to have the impact and effectiveness with other people around without sounding like you're selling. So what is your favorite part about a mastermind in general? What do you guys enjoy?
Connecting with the people.
Are we unmuted?
I think
hearing different perspectives of the same topic.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, we could talk real estate and everybody has different thoughts about real estate, what real estate is, what doing real estate investing is. It's just, I mean, and that's kind of a general statement on it, but we all see the same building, but we all see it differently.
Meredith, when you say connecting with people, what do you mean by that?
Getting to go deeper. In person, assuming we're talking about in person generally, I guess, which isn't necessarily the case, but that doesn't have to be in person. But when you're in a smaller group, you generally have the ability to go deeper in your connections with people. So as the mastermind sort of funnels down and you spend time in a, I'm not going to say confined group, but like in a group of people, like the more you spend time with them in a mastermind, the more you get to know them. One, because they're sharing their perspectives and they're different from yours, but just the concentrated time and the way people step in and share their experience in support of other people, like, oh, you're going through something tough. I went through something similar. Here's how I dealt with it. Like, I like that sharing of experience because one, it helps people, and two, it helps you get to know each other better.
Yeah, I like that. That you could be pretty much in the same group with people from all different walks of life and all different industries, and you could take the goods and bads and the lessons from all these people and apply it to your business and your life. And like, do people have like the same, like common goals, but not necessarily think exactly the same about everything in life, but core values of what they want to be. I think that's the key part of being in the mastermind for me.
Amanda?
And I pretty much what everybody else said. But it's because it's everything. It's how we can all be talking about the same topic, but see different things. Like Jill said, we all see the same building, but everybody has different perspectives. I like the going deep part also, because it's like with us, we know each other all so well. But when we're in that space together where we can't just talk about what's on the call or what are we doing, we talk about other things and we get to learn more about each other. We get to actually make the connections where, oh, I really do like these people, or I do want to share myself with them or share pieces of me, and you're willing to open up, and it doesn't have to be business. You get to become friends and then family and everything else. And that's what I really enjoy about masterminds, is building that connection.
Yeah. Really getting to know one of the ways of saying it is making sure you have the same core values. And in a mastermind, there's going to be people there that have that and don't, but the majority of people have that same core value, same belief. It doesn't have to be identical, but having that same core values of what they put first, if they put family first, or they put money first, if they put these, right? What's going to be that deciding factor? Because I've been in masterminds where, you know, people have the ability to share profits, and then they don't. They take it all for themselves. And then you're like, okay, well, then we're not in a mastermind. We're just in your world. And so understanding that you have the same core values with people and that you have that, right, drive and determination of giving and helping. And I think that that's a big part of it. So I know, Craig and Meredith, you guys have run retreats and things before. What's been your favorite part of the live event?
I think it, to what she was kind of saying earlier, it's the in-person connections, the energy, the ability to go deep with people, learn about who they are as a person, understand what they're going through so you can help them through it, and vice versa. Like, and then obviously when you get comfortable enough with someone and you know their story and that they've gone through something similar to what you're going through, you can kind of leverage their experience and expertise and kind of lean on them a little bit and get through the tough moments.
Because like Amanda and I had been on a lot of calls and stuff together, but until we were there in person at the Kappa, like we went deeper in person, one-on-one in at Greg's house at the Kappa event than we ever had on a call with other people around. So when you're in person, you have the opportunity to sort of step away and do one-on-one. You have the group, you have more more options available to you to be able to go deeper when you're in person.
Yeah.
It's not just the trainings, it's this in-between conversations. Yeah. 100%. That's what I'd say. And that's what's great about the live events. So Joe, what was your favorite part about this weekend's event?
You're going to start with me. I can't do the Amanda ditto. I agree times three. Oh man. Okay. I have to pick one. So
pick a couple if you want.
Okay, good. I think one of the biggest things that I really liked was that it was an opportunity, not just when we were alone, but when we had the other people that came to the event too, had that opportunity to all be together, but yet to be in smaller groups and get to connect with one-on-one. And I think the biggest takeaway that I have for it is that I could be myself. Oh, and you're going to make me cry, Hugh, that my husband actually attended and he felt comfortable. So thank you, Meredith and Craig. Yes, I've been doing your little 15-day program, and we'll talk about some of those that I really don't like later. But from on this perspective, I think that that was just really, it was a very comfortable atmosphere that we could all just be ourselves and didn't have to like put on any kind of airs. So I think that was.
Let me ask you about that, because JD sort of sat, so for those of you guys listening on the podcast, JD sort of sat back and wasn't really participating. He just wanted his chair in the back and just wanted to do his, sort of hover from the outside and be the, like we call him, the Facebook social media light stalker of everybody, telling us when people get new outfits and stuff and all of these things of different people. What allowed him to engage? Or because I know you had to say something to him to like go over there and talk, and then I said something.
I didn't say anything to him about sitting off to the side and just kind of observing, because I know that that's what he does. Being in an arena where he knows very little people and knows them. So he didn't know any of the people that attended, but he knows Joe and Amanda a little bit. He knows Hugh quite well. And so that was his securing anchor. But just to watch and be like, okay, this is what she does. This is what makes her happy. I'm going to go see what it is that makes her happy to do these things. And often I felt him watching me and you guys, us, interact together and interact in a group. And I could see a lot of things clicking off in his brain of, okay, because I tell him about all these things, you know, so it's kind of like, okay, I see that. Okay, that's cool. Because if you notice, after like Saturday afternoon, he really relaxed. He like started really, he was actually getting up and going over and talking to people later on in the night, day, evening, afternoon. But he did get up out of his chair, and that is his comfort zone. So I wasn't going to ask him to come out of it. The fact that he was attending this was a big step out of his comfort zone.
Well, I did that. So maybe it was me. Maybe it's just me.
If you want to take the credit, but I'm going to give it to him for
I give it to him, but no? I had a conversation with him. He didn't want to go over and talk to people. And he says, well, they're talking about stuff I don't know about. I said, John, they're talking really know about real estate.
Well, you can go and there. I heard you say that to him, but no. And I told him, if you're not comfortable going, don't go. Just go if you're comfortable. Yeah. So, you know, somebody asked him something, and then that was, I don't know what the gentleman's name was, but he had asked him something. And then the sun kind of helped because it was shifting. And so it kind of forced us all to like go up underneath this umbrella, which was really great. So it got us all closer. It forced us to get closer because that was his excuse for staying in the back. That was his excuse. I'm in the shade. I don't want to sit in the sun. So I know what he was doing, and he was kind of analyzing, figuring out who was doing what and who the players were on the playground here, you know. So I give him a ton of credit for going.
Yeah, we're talking renovations, and then about rewiring a house. I'm like, oh, John, he has an electrical company.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think? How much is going to be to rewire this house?
Yeah, that was one conversation that brought him into. I did hear you say that. Yeah. And then the lady with the daughter that was the good swimmer, I think her name was Macy. She asked him a couple questions, mm-hmm. and that brought him in too. So,
yeah. Well, that was a big step, him attending. So,
yeah, in my world, yes.
That's why we have to create different types of events to allow different people to show up. Right? Yeah. It's just the same style event. They just don't want to do the homework. They don't want to participate in the training. But when you create other style events.
Exactly. The events in the city that we have that are the different kinds, they're just in the city. That's still too close and too easy to say, I'm busy. I'm working. I'm this, I'm that. But when you set a date and you have to go somewhere to do something, then that's where you got to go.
Yeah. Joe, what was your favorite part since Amanda hopped in the car?
My favorite part was really, you know, the event was great, but after the event was better. The team building, the really, you know, going over things, putting pieces together, and just the bonding, you know, making all our relationships stronger through, you know, time together, time doing things, going through things, and reflecting on those things. And that, you know, that's big. That's what makes a community.
Yes. And apparently some tequila too helps. So
a smidge.
Just a little bit help. So awesome. Amanda, I know you're driving, so we want to be careful with you here.
I'm good. Emily's holding the phone for me. So my favorite part actually was like on Friday, making tacos and just in the kitchen, because if everybody doesn't know, Jill does not allow anybody in her kitchen. And she allowed me in my kitchen with her. But to sit there and just cook with Jill and how she thought about me and Joe's 8-week transformation, and she got the macros for everything that she cooked. And it was just so thoughtful. And she's like, but you always think about me and my allergies. So I thought about you. And just me and Jill getting to bond, just me and Jill, was nice. Like, we had our moments together. So I really enjoyed that. The event was great also. Like, I got to get to know Naomi a little bit better. She's one of her daughter and Aubrey are very good friends. So it's nice to then get to know her a little better. And then hear, like, she's always wanted to talk real estate, but then to hear why she's always scared. Why she's so scared. Because she never told me that before. So to finally get to hear that stuff was great. That was my favorite part. So really the cooking with Jill and bonding with Jill was my favorite part. And then the laps around the pool when we needed to cool down a little bit. That was fun.
That wasn't really a cool down. That was just a regrouping of the brain.
Pretty much. But it worked. I know Hugh had to meet me halfway one lap because I had to do two laps instead of my regular one. I was like, oh, no, this is a two lapper. So that was fun. But the team building is what really did it for me. Like, Wyoming was great. This was greater. And I love the bond that we've all developed.
Yes. Yes.
It was interesting to see people step into their zones of genius, step into their power, step into what they're doing. And even, you know, we did a mini chain breaker. So we didn't have chains. We did a log break with JD there because he wanted to understand what we were really doing. And I don't think he knew what he was in for when we went down that rabbit hole path of you guys keep saying Chainbreaker, keep saying Chainbreaker. So I was like, all right, let's do it. And we threw him in there. Because I know if I asked him, he would say no.
He still said no, even when you throw him in. But it landed.
It landed. We got through a bunch of layers. We didn't get to the deepest layer with him, but there wasn't a chance of really getting there. But it definitely got through a lot of, you know, why his business hasn't grown, why he hasn't done the things that he wants to do. And it started to peel back those layers and allowed him to feel comfortable sharing those problems and situations and understanding that he's not alone in that. And I think that's one of the hugest things, is that so many entrepreneurs feel alone trying to solve their problems, that they've got to figure it out because they won't lean into a community, or they don't even know there's a community there to support them. You know, like we had that with Macy there. She's like, well, we're doing this, but we don't really know how to go to the next level because you're not surrounded by people. You're not hanging out with the people. So as anytime you're doing all of that, there's all those different dynamics in there. And so there's a point even where I was almost laying down and still doing stuff from a farm, like 20 feet away. I was like, wait, what about this? You know? And so watching him and then being able to take that because of that. And that's why I noticed like a lot of the body language shifts change and different things like that play into all of that.
Go as far as he went unprepared. I mean, he didn't know, he'd never seen one, he'd never been part of one, he didn't know what one was really all involved. So this was out of the blue for somebody who doesn't really know what to expect or know what he's getting into. And you know, you keep asking those further in-depth questions and it's like, I don't know.
And he participated.
Yes,
he did. Could have said, F you, I'm not going anymore, I'm doing this, and walked inside. He sat there. And he listened. Mm-hmm. He listened to Hugh, to Joe. He tried looking at you for stuff, and when I blocked, he stopped. He would answer the question. Then he would peek this way. Nope, I went right back on the other side. No, answer the question.
You guys reformulated your questions. You giving up on asking that question because he would try to divert and give off a divert answer. And you guys would just flip the question and you would stick with it and stick with it and stick with it. And more Amanda at that point, but then Joe actually then took a subcategory later on with just John. So I think that was really where, once he got like out of the group atmosphere, if that's what you want to call it. And, you know, we all walked away. Amanda and Hugh and I went for a swim and Joe and John just stood off in the corner and talked. So I think that part was helpful as well. So I think that really helped with the bonding of the group, you know. So he did say later there are going to be a few questions on the ride home. So I waited all the way home and it's Monday afternoon and I'm still waiting for the questions. So I don't know as if there was as many questions after he had the opportunity to think things through.
And questions may still arise. He's bubbling it. He's over, he's mulling things. And
yes.
Questions. I still have questions about my chain breakers in Wyoming.
And I was just saying the words chain breaker and log stacker have not come up in conversation. So that may be the trigger when he hears it. But I think that was one of the really, that was probably like the, it's hard to say like there was one specific point in that because there was a lot of them that really went deep. And I think that'd be my, if I have to pick one thing, how deep we went on conversations, emotions, feelings, support, gratitude, everything.
You're muted.
Sorry. For the people that have just shown up that were brand new, it also gave you guys an opportunity to invite them, like you said, to have those conversations for Ryan and his wife and Massey and them to the dynamic. And I think that shifted some things from their perspective of what you two were doing, right? Joe and Amanda, because they know you from your state, but to be able to see that, be able to see that you had support, be able to see that you had these other things. And I think when Massey was like, Hugh, I had a conversation with you in 20, she pulled up the LinkedIn conversation from like 2022 or 2023. She's like, you were messaging me on LinkedIn at one point. like it was. I don't know. She's like, look, here it is. Like, that's how I know you. I thought I knew you from the job, but it turned out, no, I know you from an event or something like that. So, right. That gave you guys credibility as well. Just being able to be like, hey, this is what we're doing.
What I like too is, like Naomi said, she was like, nobody brings kids. Like, the kids all came. We had the pool open. Everybody play in the pool. The playground is open. Go play. I have games they can play. She goes, nobody has things where you can do with your kids. Like, kids don't come to adult things like this. Like, that's not what happens. And I'm like, no, my kids come. So I do event with kids. Like, it's, they're part of it. They're part of the legacy. They're taking on the I'm done. This is for them. We want them involved. So that's, she texted me this morning that, she had a great time and loved that the kids were involved, that the kids got to come and play, and she didn't feel pressured into having to run home because she had to go get the kids.
What were you gonna say, Joe? I saw the look in the eyes.
Me?
I think I forgot.
Take a lap around the pool. It'll come back.
Yeah,
to
there,
you.
Was some, there was something.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's a big thing. And then also I think that ability to have people show up at an event upstate New York, there isn't a big market or hasn't been a big following, it's just to break that ice now. So the next time you'll have more, the next opportunity there is to go ahead and do that, to build bigger, deeper with everything. And it starts the foundation. But with everything as entrepreneurs, we got to start. You got to plant a flag and you got to start and you got to take that action. So whether it's Greg DeMeritis 33-day challenge, whether it's going out there and doing that.
Reset you today, Joe and Amanda. So you're back to day one. As
yay.
Massey thought she was a high-ranking official in the NYPD, so she was a little nervous at first. And then she realized that she had the conversation with us, she opened up a little bit.
She thought I was on the job, like a high, you know, the Irish guy on the job. So, you know.
That's a good one.
She couldn't say where she lived. She wanted to get in trouble.
Oh, now I get it. Okay, that was good.
Mm-hmm. All right, that does make sense because I asked her, I just got a very general, and I don't know the area. So I said, oh. Okay, sorry, I don't know where that's at. And then they got a little more specific, and I'm like, I just gonna need like a frame, like how long did it take you to get here? Because I have no idea where I'm from. I'm out on Long Island. I don't know. And they were like, yeah, like 15, go this way. Like, I probably could have driven to their house at that point. So that does make sense on why there was like that apprehension. See, that's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That little bit further to know somebody. So, because it was after, I think, I'm sure after your conversation when she realized that we weren't all there scouting out why she was there. So, that was pretty good.
Yeah. So, it's funny. I get that often. When I walk into certain places, they're like, you must be on the job.
You also
know the lingo, too, and you're very observant. So, you speak it and you understand it, which is why when we do the events with law enforcement, everybody gravitates to you because you understand them. And then when they go, wait, you're not law enforcement? You're like, no, I'm not.
And people who watch people identify other people who watch people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's easy to, yeah. Because you do it faster than I can. And I'll tell you that not many people can, when we walk into rooms, identify who the key players are, who are the troublemakers, and who to stay away from super fast. But we often... I used to be one of the few that could do it. Now I know I've got other people that are like, not that person. So cool. So on there, for the people that attended or for people that attended Trade Emeritus events in the past, what surprised you about the event? What surprises you guys about live events often?
Nobody can show up on time.
Everyone's going to say something. I'm like, can we say that? Because like... I always have, I've done barbecues and those things, but for like an event, everybody was like late and then nobody wanted to go home.
Right.
Which is not horrible, but it's like, all right, I'm kind of running out of food and I'm running out of snacks because this was supposed to end
3 hours ago.
Yeah. Dylan and I cleaned the whole backyard and everybody was still laying out. And I'm like,
which is great. It makes it, you know, they're comfortable and it's wonderful to have them there. And I just don't understand that. And event, I cannot think of an event we have not either held or been a part of or attended that people just don't show up late.
5-10 minutes, I get. 20 minutes, even in the city, where traffic, things like that, that I get. But
2 hours?
Yeah, the late thing always bothers me. Even when we did the Aspire tour last July, they're coming during the second or third speaker. And I was like, you're paying money to get, and you're not showing on time or even like 5 minutes late. You're like way, way out.
That is just something that surprises me in general.
People are having such a good time that they didn't want to leave.
Well, that's a compliment.
I get that.
It is.
I'm okay with that.
But I think part of that was the fact that none of us were moving. If we were moving to leave, like Jill, okay, John, and I, then they probably would have moved a little bit more to leave. But that one couple definitely lingered way past Jill taking away all the chairs.
I put all the chairs away.
No, I think also too the dynamic of the event itself, because a barbecue, I think it was just very lax as well.
Yeah.
And then I think you said we weren't leaving, because normally I like VIP when nobody wants to leave. Jill starts putting her coat on, the book bag is on, and people are starting to get the idea, hey, the main people are leaving. I think we need to go.
We'll go for a drive next year.
Just get in the car.
Just go, I'll get in the car. Amanda, Joe, the girls, Doug, you and I, we're all going to leave. I just, and Joe's right. Even, you know, have scheduled people to speak. I just don't understand that. Is new way of things in the world that I'm missing?
There also might be a little bit of apprehension if they don't know what the event's going to be. So they're almost like a little fearful, if you will. But there's a little bit of hesitation and
don't want to be the first one there because you have to talk.
I get that. That's why I say 10, 15, even 20 minutes, I'm okay with.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying as it's opened, you walk in. No, but
I think it's a great, to Craig's point, it's the value of the event.
Yeah. What they perceive the value.
But once they get there, then they start to get comfortable with the people that are there. They're like, oh, this isn't what I had it in mind to be when I wasn't here before I got here. Now I know what this is. And now I want to make up for the lost. I want to stay a little longer. I want to engage with people. I want to know Jill and Joe and Amanda and Hugh on a deeper level. They get more comfortable. They're like, oh, sure, kids are valued here. Like this than I thought it was going to be. I thought this was going to be like a sales pitch or whatever. And it's actually just coming and connecting with people. This is what I've been actually looking for, but I didn't know it before I got here. And so now I'm interested in staying a little longer.
Okay. Good point.
Maybe.
Good point.
I also am always surprised when I go to an event. I'm always like, what are the speakers? What's it? What am I going to learn? Like, I go initially for the sort of espoused value I'm going to get,
the
right?
Flyer.
Like, you know, the benefits, the content, I guess is where we're going. When I leave an event, the value almost never in the content. The value is in the conversations that you have. And that was a real shift for me coming from corporate. I'm not really sure why my mindset was always so geared to the content of what I'm going to receive. Is this going to be valuable for me? Is this something I'm interested in? You know, it's all about the content. And then when I leave, I'm not so much anymore because it's happened so many times, but I was always so surprised that when I think back to my favorite parts and what I got the most out of, it's always the conversations with people between the content. Like the content always becomes secondary to the conversation. And that was a big surprise for me when I started going to events in person.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people go into that and are afraid oftentimes when they go to events because there are bad events and good events. Yeah. Bad event is it's just going to be a pitch fest. Every single speaker is going to get up there and they're going to pitch me a product. They're going to do those things. They're going to try and sell me this. They're going to try and sell me that. And I'm just going to sit there and get pitched all day. So I'm going to show up late.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Especially if you don't know really what it is. And there isn't a lot of great marketing material out there that clearly sort of outlines what it is.
I like what Meredith just said too, coming from the corporate brain, because that is where I do come from it at. I come from the corporate brain of it. So good point. I'm going to keep that in mind.
Yeah, there's a lot of people like, hey, what am I going to learn? And if I've heard that person, then maybe I can't learn that much. So I'm going to skip that person. Or we make judge. Oftentimes people make on each individual speaker based on how they look, based on what they're talking about. Is that going to apply to me? Okay, I'm going to the bathroom during that one. And then they're like, wait, that's actually really powerful.
The best.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's unique how that shifts because, you know, I go to like what every speaker does and all these things. Everybody's like, can I sit next to you, Hugh? So I know why this speaker's on stage. I'm like, this is the message from that person. But if you don't understand that and you don't see that, you can take stuff away from each of the speakers, even if they are pitching all the time, which is not a great event to be at. But, you know, it's just a question of, like you said, if you're there early enough, you get to understand who the players are. Who do you want to talk to? Who don't you want to talk to, right? Who's full of BS because you've watched them just work the room and hand out business cards the whole time versus actually wants a relationship. And it's just a time value, right? What's the value of my time? How many hours can I be here? If I think it's going to be crap, then oftentimes it is crap because we set our own expectations, right? We go there for those types of things. I mean, we had this with one guy at LA. He's like, I'll just show up for lunch for an hour. And he showed up, he's like, oh, I wish I gave it more time. Right? You're like, yeah, you know, you should have. What can I do? Right? Like, that's what you were willing to give us. So we'll take it. So you get that first exposure. So good. Any last thoughts, comments?
Definitely happy we did it.
Very happy we did it.
A change of a little more casual with the shorts and the barbecue and the sun and everything. That was cool to switch it up from the city office. Mm-hmm. I think that next time, definitely planning it out and just maybe we could get city people to come up and work other things, but that takes what learning and growing. But that those are definitely cool.
Yep, definitely opportunities. Even to drive up to Canada. So, you know, even do that, right? We're right on the border. You can do an event half on, half off, whatever it happens to be. So.
We're just outside Niagara Falls right now. Just saying.
You're not that far.
Nope.
So, great job today, everybody. And just remember, as you're going out there and as you're taking your steps and as you're launching into that next, whatever scenario it is find that community, find those people to surround yourself with so you continue to push forward. As entrepreneurs, it can be lonely, but if you're with a group, it takes away a lot of the fear, it takes away a lot of the excuses, and it gives you the advice and the opportunity that you need to simply be able to ask questions and say you need help. So see everybody next time. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining us on the Launch Button Podcast, your gateway to unlocking your true potential and pursuing your passions. Don't let the journey end here. For more empowering insights, valuable resources, exclusive content, and free giveaways, visit www.thelaunchbuttonpodcast.com. At The Launch Button, we're dedicated to helping you break free from the ordinary and embrace a life filled with purpose and fulfillment. Dive deeper into our episodes, access bonus materials, and connect with like-minded individuals on our website and our private community group. Are you ready to take the next steps towards your dreams? Subscribe to The Launch Button Podcast on your favorite podcast platform and never miss an episode. Remember, the power to transform your life lies within your grasp. Press the launch button and soar towards success. For more updates, behind-the-scenes content, and exclusive offers, follow us on social media, join the conversation using hashtag the launch button, and share your journey with our vibrant community. Thank you for being a part of the Launch Button family. Together, let's ignite our dreams and embark on this journey together of growth and discovery. Visit www.thelaunchbuttonpodcast.com and let's continue to launch your greatness. See you there.